the writings of Ramash, the Hebrew Book, Volume 1, page 118, article, Come to Pharaoh, Part 1. You can ask questions live on cob.tv. Relevant questions may be aired on the broadcast. Reading from the article, Come to Pharaoh, Part 1. Come to Pharaoh. It's difficult to understand because it should have said, Go to Pharaoh. And the Zohar says that Moses was brought into rooms inside of rooms to one strong alligator. Because the Creator saw that Moses fears, the Creator said, I give you King Pharaoh, the big alligator that dwells in its sea. The Creator had to wage war with him, and no one else. As you say, I am the Lord, as they said, me and not a messenger. It is found that come means both of us together. And interpreting this in the work of the Creator first requires knowing what is our demand for engaging in Torah and Mitzvot, meaning what do we demand for that? And the exchange, the reward, has to be obvious so that we will understand that we should give up the pleasures of the body if we understand that it prevents us from reaching the goal, which is our reward. That by our engagement in Torah and Mitzvot, we will receive this exalted goal. So that the goal is in exchange for giving up corporeal pleasures. So we should know that the gist of the reward that we wish for Torah and Mitzvot is adhesion with the Creator, which is the matter of equivalence of form, as it says, to adhere, to cling to Him. As our sages said, the Creator created an evil inclination and a Torah as a spice for it. Because that's the vessel in which we can receive the purpose of creation, which is called to benefit the creatures, which is called the revelation of the Creator to the creatures in this world. As the book Matan Torah says, it is known that the main work is making the kli. However, the fulfillment, which is the abundance that is bestowed into the kli, comes from the Upper One, which is His desire to benefit His creatures. And from His side, of course, there is no prevention to give us. And all the deficits we feel are because we have no vessels to receive the abundance. Because our vessels come from the shattering. Due to the shattering that happened in the world of Nikudim, came out the klipot, shells, which are receiving in order to receive. The meaning of shattering in spirituality is like you break a kli, like you break a something in corporeality. If a vessel is broken in corporeality, if you try to pour some drink into it, then it'll pour outside. Likewise in spirituality, if it enters the vessel of the desire for self-reception, then the abundance comes out to the external ones, meaning outside Kedusha, outside bestowal. Bestowal is called for the sake of the Creator, Kedusha, holiness, and besides for the sake of the Creator is called other side, which is the other side of the Kedusha. Therefore we say that Kedusha is called bestowing, and impurity is called receiving. And because of that, we are born after the shattering. Our will to receive is only to receive. And therefore we cannot be given the abundance because it will all fall to the other side. And this is the entire reason that we are removed from the good and delight that the Creator prepared for us. Because anything He'll give us will not stay. It will be lost. As our sages said, what a fool is he who loses what he's given. Meaning that the cause is that he loses it. That's why he's a fool. And why must the fool lose and the wise will keep what he has? We should interpret that a fool means one who stays with his nature, which is self-love, and does not try to make ploys to be able to escape the will to receive. And despite the fact that there are many ploys and remedies to come out of one's nature, one stays as naked as the day when it was born, without any clothing. And that clothing meaning the clothing of the desire to bestow. Because with the clothing of bestowal, one can clothe the good and delight that he's supposed to receive. But sometimes a person starts the work of bestowal and he tells his body that this is the whole purpose of the work, meaning to have a vessel of bestowal. And after all the arguments with one's body, the body tells him, you can't change nature, what the Creator created. And since creation is existence from absence, it's just a desire to receive. So how dare you say that you can change the nature of the Creator created? And about that, it's been said, come to Pharaoh, which implies we will go together. I am going with you so that I'll change nature, and I want you to only ask for me to help you change nature and turn it from a will to receive into a will to bestow. As our sages said, one's inclination overpowers him every day. And if the Creator didn't help, one wouldn't be able to overcome. However, we should also understand, why does the Creator need someone to ask him? This is something suitable for someone flesh and blood who wants honor, to be respected and asked for in order to help. But how can this be relevant to the Creator? Rather, according to the rule, there is no light without a kli, meaning you can't give fulfillment to someone if he doesn't have a deficit. Because as long as there is no deficit for something, if one is given that thing, there is no taste in it. Therefore, one does not know how to appreciate that thing, and then he will not make sure that this thing will not be stolen. Meaning, there are people who do understand the importance of the matter, and they'll take that thing from him. And this is why a person needs to ask for help from the Creator. Meaning that if he will be given some illumination from above, he'll know how to maintain it, so that the external ones will not take it from him. Because they do know what is the value of the light of bestowal. So, when a person asks of the Creator to help him, and the matter of the true request begins precisely when one sees that he cannot help himself, then he clearly knows that there is no other advice but asking the Creator to help him. Because otherwise he stays separate from bestowal. And there is no advice by which to escape the state of self-love. So when the Creator helps him, he already knows that it's an important asset, and he has to make sure carefully that the external ones will not take it away. That's like what the Ari says, that this is the secret of the chase of the evil inclination and the other side trying to make the righteous sin and cling to the bestowal, because they have no life without it. And as the goodness and bestowal multiply, they multiply as well. So you shouldn't wonder why the evil inclination chases a person trying to make him sin. Because of that, in order for a person to know how to guard himself from losing what he's given, he first has to make a lot of effort. Because something that comes to a person by effort makes him not lose that thing. However, in the time of the effort, when a person sees that the work is still far from being over, he sometimes flees the battle and becomes despaired. And then he needs strengthening to have faith in the Creator, that the Creator will help him. And the fact that the help didn't come yet is because it didn't made the sufficient effort that is required in quality and quantity for preparing the desire, the deficit, in order to receive the fulfillment. As it is written, if one engaged in the Torah and didn't succeed removing the evil inclination from himself, it is either because he didn't make the needed effort and effort and labor, which is a must in the engagement of the Torah, or as it says, I didn't labor and I found, do not believe, meaning perhaps one made enough quantity of effort but was negligent in the quality. Therefore, we need come to Pharaoh to pay attention to that and have faith in whatever states the worst that it can ever be, and not flee the battle, but always trust the Creator that He can help and give help to the person, whether one needs great help or little help. And the truth is that he who understands that he needs the Creator to give him great help, because he is worse than other people, he is more capable of getting an answer for his prayer. As it is said, the Creator is close to the brokenhearted, and He shall save those who are low in spirit. Therefore, a person should not say that he's not qualified for the Creator to bring him closer. The reason is that he's lazy in his efforts. However, a person should always overcome and not allow thoughts of despair in his mind. And this is like our sages said, even if a sharp sword is lying on one's neck, he shall not prevent himself from the mercy. As it is said, the matter of a sword that lies on one's neck, meaning even though the evil within the person called self-love lies on his neck, wanting to separate him from bestowal, showing him a picture that there is no way to escape that domination. So he should say that the picture he's seeing is true. However, he should not prevent himself from the mercy, meaning he has to have faith that the Creator can provide him the mercy, which means the quality of bestowal. In other words, from his side, from his own strength, the truth is that a person cannot escape the domination of self-reception. But from the side of the Creator, if the Creator helps him, he can surely take him out. And this is the verse saying, I am the Creator who took you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. And this is what we say in the prayer of Shema, which is undertaking the burden of the kingdom of heaven. Meaning we should know that the Creator is the one who takes the person out of the governance of reception, called separation, and puts him into bestowal. And then the verse, I shall be your God, happens, which is the aspect of the nation of Israel and not the nation of the land. And this is like our sages said, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi said, when the Creator told the first man, you should bring forth a spike, his eyes teared, shed tears, and he told him, me and the donkey will eat together, because he told him, thou shalt eat bread with thou sweat. And then he calmed down right away. However, we should understand the claim of Adam Rishon, who questioned the action of the Creator. Why does he deserve to eat together with a donkey? Which is a correct claim. And the evidence for it is that the Creator gave him an advice for how to eat bread. And if there was no correct claim, then the Creator would not accept his claim. And that claim, saying me and the donkey will eat in one place together, is hard to understand. What is the relation of this? Because our sages said, Adam was created in the evening of the Sabbath, and accordingly, what is the claim, I and the ass, the donkey will eat together? We should interpret that after the sin, he fell into self-love, and therefore, he became similar to a donkey, meaning understanding only self-love. And this is the verse that says his eyes shed tears and he said, me and the donkey will eat together. Meaning that they will be one aspect, which is self-love. Therefore, he was given the advice with thy sweat you shall eat bread. And bread is called the food of man. Meaning that by the effort, which is what the sweat refers to, you shall eat bread, which is the food of a man, human. And then you come out of corporeality. And this is called the nation of Israel, which means Yashar El, towards the Creator. However, the aspect of Egypt, meaning when the nation of Israel is in exile, and Egypt is called a nation that is similar to a donkey, which refers only to self-love. And therefore, the salvation then was for Israel. The Creator took them out of Egypt. And this is the meaning of aiming for accepting the burden of the kingdom of the Creator. As it is said, I am your God who took you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. And precisely with the Creator's help, we can come out of Egypt and merit that.
There's not much to add in the article, to the article. Yet again, he says, we have nothing to claim. We are in a small desire to receive, not even recognizing how terrible and lowly we are, and absolutely nothing. Rather, on the contrary, we're thinking that we are fine. We don't even see our own truth, because we can only see it in respect to the light. Therefore, we are speaking only of a person who receives awakening from above. And then when he starts receiving the reason for his life, other than the animalistic existence, animalistic meaning following his own body. And then, by the books and the environment, he is starting to reveal, to discover the changes in him that bring him out of the ordinary state, and he advances in all kind of different facets and discernments. Until he begins to understand that we are speaking of a change of nature, the change in one's nature. This understanding is imprinted in a person at the same very moment when he recognizes within that he is not in the state he should be in. For many years he could listen. We're speaking of something, yet it is not permeating him. Rather, when he begins to feel that it speaks about him, about the fact that his internality must change, then from that moment onwards, we can say the Torah speaks about him. And then he begins to be self-focused, self-centered. Not to correct others, not to think about others. Rather, his whole attention takes on the inward direction, inside himself. Then from that moment onwards, he has something to do with the Torah. From that moment onwards, we could claim he has a connection with the Torah. Beforehand, he had a connection with the wisdom. Hence it is written, wisdom in the Gentiles. We should believe. Gentiles mean he who understand that he needs to correct himself. Who doesn't? Sorry, and a Jew is he who understands he needs to come to unity, to equivalence of form, to bestowal. And in order to change human's nature, when a person starts looking inwards inside himself and understand that the problem is within himself, and unless he is changing, nothing will happen. There's nothing else to talk about. All the changes are inside. Then he learned that this is how he also studied about the perception of reality, and whoever disqualifies through his own flaws. And he also learned from the revelation and the concealment of the Creator and all kind of other resources and places where indeed everything depends only on my inner change, and outside of me there's nothing. The appetite is in constant rest. And all that I see, all that I feel, is the upper light drawing on my gray qualities. And then, indeed, from that moment onwards, it has a connection to the Torah, like to something that is very precious. Because he feels himself, from this point onwards, constantly one more, that he is dependent greatly on that means, on that source called Torah. And from that moment onwards, he understand what does it mean, come to Pharaoh. And then he starts relating differently to the means. Who are right next to him. These are books, a teacher, a group. He is already dependent upon them. And he already attributes the whole correction to the extent that they can come to him, truly as he opens himself and allow their hands to get into him and do, like, I don't know, like you do a engine service for the car, to do all kind of corrections there and fix it, just for them to do it, because he is as a sick person who runs to the operation table. All kind of such depictions a man receive once he start to feel to what extent he is dependent on the goodwill of those means to change him. And then, definitely this environment, which all in all, they are called the environment. Then accordingly, it begins to work on him. And to the extent that he is attracted to it, then on the one hand, it is revealed to him the difficulty in turning to it, and on the other hand, he is shown to what extent he is in rejection from it, and then by that he understands that he must, on one hand, turn to them, and he feels that he must, that his whole life is dependent upon it. However, on the other hand, his ego, his stubbornness, does not allow him to turn to them. And they are those who are called the hatred, the sita acha. They are called the shells, klipa. It is like a little baby, or something we discovered on ourselves, that we say need to ask someone else for forgiveness, and we are incapable of subjugating ourselves. So those two opposite forces that a person reveal. I must have it, otherwise I'm dead. And then the fact that he is incapable. Until one realizes that he is incapable, this is the foreign governance. And then he does discover. Well, in such way, in each and every degree. This is how it is in each and every degree. Until he understands that the Creator arranged it all in order for him to, from that day onwards, will hold on to his hands as a little baby in the adult's hand, and then he can walk to Pharaoh along with him. And this is how it is along the whole path, until the end of correction, always with the aid of the recognition of evil in his own nature. There is a recognition and then the separation that separates between him and this nature. See it as an enemy that he must uproot, and he needs to ask the upper light to do that for him. So all those things emerge gradually. And then he succeeds. And Rabash emphasizes here that a person should not be concerned as if he lacks the means. Rather, all in all, he has everything. However, one does know how to use it correctly. And it's not like he's lacking the know-how. Rather, only the exertion, simple, plain exertion against laziness. And that exertion, corresponding to the laziness, depends on the importance of the goal. And the importance of the goal depends only on the environment. And over again, we return to the same principle, which is to do all that you can in order to, through the deeds, will come to Lishma, for her name, and being included in society with all that one is capable, through body and heart, body and soul, in all the deeds and all the actions. And then definitely this is in the hands of man. And we shall do, we shall hear. There are two interpretations. The true interpretation from we shall do and we shall hear is that Malchut rises to Bina. And then it is considered we shall do and we shall hear. That we, since the second restriction, we're only working only to the extent that Malchut can be included with Bina. This is we shall do and we shall hear. Malchut that determines to what extent it is capable of resembling Bina, and to that extent we are using it. However, these are pre-exalted things in the ranks of the degrees. Whereby here he speaks of we shall do and we shall hear, that in general, in a group with all the deeds possible, the main thing is to lose oneself and receiving the importance of the goal and the lowliness of my own nature. And according to that lowliness, he can advance further. Oh, to that extent. This is basically what come to Pharaoh is.
Question from the Jerusalem group. How does a person know that the Creator calls him to come to Pharaoh?
Yes, this is a problem. This discernment comes gradually. What does that mean? First of all, a person feels as if he is rejected. Then, because through the rejection, he cannot attribute the rejection to himself, as if this is I who is rejected from the goal. Rather, he receives sudden heaviness, a bad mood, comes to something. Well, that's not I. A person always has to justify his own state. Later on, he tries and does things that seems to him as if he's a hero and he advances. Second time, or next time, again he receives burning of the heart, a certain black clouds lands over him, and he is not to blame either. However, he attributes that to higher providence. Well, what shall we do? And he gets angry and is like annoyed with the Creator for what he did for him and why he deserves it and so on. He tries to some extent or wait inevitably until it passes by. And it passes by, and again when that just passes by, he just attributes that to the Creator. Rather, everything through time, everything changes. Next time, come over again his way, and maybe has more discernment why it is, for what, he understands better that those things happen every now and then, ascends and descends, changes. And maybe he has already some attitude towards it, that a descent always brings to a change. He doesn't quite discern whether it is for the better or for the worse, but and from being helpless, he, both in the descent and ascent, he see that it's not in his own strength to manage them. And then to some extent he starts to scream, to demand from the Creator that he doesn't want to be in a descent anymore. He has a certain attitude towards it just because he is helpless. And thus he begins to feel that he is under certain care. And this is lasting in different manners, because if it comes from the Creator, on the one hand, it is very calming down, because probably has a good intention, although I feel bad, and, well, he did bad for me, then later on, you know, the good times will come, so I'll wait. Meaning, knowing the sources and providence can also weakening one's own participation. And here, times again, times and times, everything works according to a sequence of states that can last for years. Because there are many things one needs to scrutinize, whereby he doesn't even understand what he goes through. However, what's up to us, nevertheless, and it is not for no reason that he is so precise about it, is the influence of the environment. There's nothing to turn to the Creator for. You can scream as much as you want. This is the law of nature. The only law. Well, we're in the system of laws, yeah, the network of laws, rules. And the tip, the only the end of a rope that was given to you is to awaken the influence of the closed society to you on you in respect to the goal. See, it's not just any environment where you might be present, like at home or at work and so on and so forth. Rather, a goal-oriented environment, society, that you can awaken it in order to influence you. Everything else are just rules that exist in a way that you cannot approach it. Their formula has no component which you can change. These are all very, how shall I put it? These are rules that are just like in physics, a law and another law and another law, and from this whole system of laws. We don't know in our world, we don't recognize it, we think we can change them. However, through all the system of all those rules, all those laws, indeed, you're given in one formula, in one rule, to change its attributes. Well, to change its coefficient, being the influence of the environment on you. To what extent? To the extent that you awaken them to influence you. Meaning there's an element and its opposite. And by that, we are talking about we shall do and we shall hear. That through plain deed, and not in the desire, rather in the decision, that there's no other hope, and I even tell them verbally, even though my heart doesn't agree with it, that, guys, you need to come to me, beat me, drag me, and awaken me, and I'm asking you, I'm begging you, and I'm paying you, or I'll pay you for meal, or basically through a deed without the heart, through which we are capable, by all kinds of such deeds of this world entirely, in the most corporeal, animalistic way, start change the whole law of system of laws, of rules.
A beginner student named Dan from Herzliya is asking, when Rabash says body, does he refer to a physical body?
What body he refers to?
In the article, in the beginning of the article.
Normally, a body refers to a desire. We're speaking of the soul, not of the anatomy or physiology of our own body. It is obvious we're not talking about this protein-like body or man's body. Rather, the man's body refers to my desire. This is what is called man's body. It says man's wife as his body, meaning the desire to receive in a man. The internal desire to receive, it is what is called a woman or malchut. There are the first nine and so on. Of course, we are not speaking of this this body. It doesn't belong to us. You can implant organs, and yeah.
Many from Rishon LeZion is asking, how can I labor towards something when I know that I can't attain it if not by the help of the light?
He should write down for himself, there is a goal, it is such and such, say, coming to the Creator, reaching the Creator. Reaching the Creator, I am capable only according to the equivalence of form. Equivalence of form means, so you merciful, so my merciful, and meaning the quality of bestowal entirely. It's opposite to me, million light years away. I don't know what it is. That opposite, that I need to invert myself, and also from that, I don't know what will turn out of it. As if I have bestowal within, and then I invert myself, and it comes outwardly. Well, there is no outwardly. Well, this is something that the light which created my desire can bring to me in addition to my desire an intention in order to bestow, and then I'm using my desire. I am not exiting my my skin, yeah? Oh, with ein. I'm not exiting it, rather I'm adding to my desire intentions of in order to bestow. And in it, or through it, I'm already coming to equivalence of form. So the light is capable of doing it in me. Now, how do I come to a state where the light would do it in me? The light awaits, doesn't do anything until there will be a desire for it. This is what we wrote here. Where is it? One can change nature only by the light. And he must ask, because it indicates a complete desire to come to bestow. And to God himself, why does it have to be a complete desire? Because then he should God himself, and not wanting to receive for his own sake. And will not want to receive for his own sake. Meaning what he received, as if from the light to himself. That's it. Here it is, to receive what he received in his desire. We need to conclude here and move to the Zohar portion of the lesson.